Well, good morning, Grace Powell Church. Thanks again for worshiping with us this morning. Special thanks to our worship team. Today, we are going to continue in a series we started last week called The Story of Hope. Now, for those of you who are looking for the Revelation series, we will continue that in the month of January. But for the time of Christmas in the month of December, we are focusing on the story of hope. Last week, specifically, if you were with us, we focused on King Herod, and we learned from a particular question in the text, and the question was, why are we so disturbed? Why are we upset? Why are we discouraged? Why are we losing hope? Well, for you and I, there could be lots of reasons, from COVID to the division with our politics to any set circumstances that are in our life. But Herod, he was upset, we learned last week, when he started to lose control of his throne. You'll recall the Magi showed up. They asked a very specific question. And the question was this. They said, where is the newborn king? And from that moment, Herod started to lose control. And he started to plot and to scheme to try to regain control. And we compared this to our lives, because sometimes our lives spin out of control. And we have to remind ourselves that God is still sovereign. He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. And so our hope comes from that truth, that God is in control. So the challenge was simple last week. We challenged us to allow Jesus to rule and reign in our hearts, in our lives, to sit on the throne of our hearts and lives. And specifically, we looked at Psalms 42:5. And the challenge was to put our hope in God. Well, you can check out that sermon. It's on our website if you want to encourage yourself with that. Today, we're going to focus on another story, another familiar Christmas story. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And it's the story of Joseph. I want to specifically ask this question. How can we learn hope from the story of Joseph? Today, the title of my message is called Hope is a Choice. Hope is a choice. Let's pray and let's ask God's blessing this morning. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege we have to worship you. God, now as your word is opened up, as we look at this very familiar story of Joseph and we contemplate this statement that hope is a choice, Father, I pray that you would challenge us to choose hope. I pray, Father, no matter what our set of circumstances are, no matter what we're facing this morning, that, Father, we would see hope, Jesus Christ, and that we would live him out in our lives and through our lives this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's talk about this concept. Hope is a choice. As a way of an illustration, let me set it up this way. How many choices do you think you make each and every day? Like, for instance, this morning, think about the choices you made, right? You decided to get up out of bed, or maybe you decided to hit the snooze button. Maybe you decided to hit the snooze button twice, right? Maybe you decided to skip breakfast. Maybe you decided to make breakfast. Maybe you decided to make breakfast for your entire family. Maybe you decided to make breakfast just for yourself. Maybe you decided to exercise or to take a shower. Maybe you had an easy decision of what you were going to wear. Maybe it was a hard decision. My point is we make all kinds of decisions, right? They did a study. Cornell University did a study in 2018, and this is what they came up with. They said that the average person, believe it or not, makes 35,000 decisions a day. Can you believe that? And here's my question. I don't know if this is true or not. You can check out the study for yourself, but let's just assume for a moment that this is true. Let's just assume that we make 35,000 choices, decisions a day. Here's the question I want to ask this morning. Out of all the choices you're going to make today, here's the question. Will you choose to hope? Because the premise of the message today is hope is a choice. if you're a Christ follower, you can choose to live by hope. You can choose hope. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your challenges are, no matter if you woke up grumpy today or happy today, no matter if you woke up with all kinds of challenging circumstances, the Bible says that because we put our hope in God, He is the source of hope, we can choose to live today with hope. So let's learn this together, and let's remind ourselves of this familiar story in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the story of Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Okay, now let's just talk about this for a moment. Pledged means that they were betrothed. It's almost like they were engaged in today's world, but it was a little bit different. Marriages back then involved three things. Number one, they had prearranged marriages. Parents would get together, usually without the kids' say, and they would sign a contract, they would pay a little payment, and they would make a deal that their kids would get married. The second thing would happen is they would have a year-long betrothal. They wouldn't live together, they would live apart from each other, and during this time, they would not consummate their marriage, but they were legally considered married during this time. And then finally, after this betrothal period, they would come together, they would have a wedding ceremony, a wedding feast, and a celebration. So understand, Joseph is pledged to be married to Mary. Let's keep reading. But before they came together, she found out to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, right? So what do we learn about Joseph? We learn that Joseph was a pretty good guy. He was faithful, he was righteous, he obeyed the Old Testament law, and he had a choice. Once he found out that Mary was pregnant, once he found out that the child inside of Mary was not his, he decided to divorce her quietly. Again, go back to what I just shared earlier. He decided to break the contract, the agreement. He had a right to do that. He did not want to publicly disgrace her. What did that mean? That meant that she could have been stoned, according to the law in Deuteronomy, but Joseph decided to divorce her quietly, to break the agreement. Right? So as he was deciding this, as he was considering this, look what happens. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this. Joseph has a dream and he's addressed by an angel, Gabriel probably, right? Gabriel shows up and says to Joseph, hey, listen, your wife Mary is pregnant. She was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? So Joseph is forced with a choice. Will he believe what is being told to him? Look at verse 21. The angel continues and says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, notice the choice he made. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, from this very familiar story, let's talk about this concept, hope is a choice. And I want to share with you from Joseph's story, four choices that Joseph made, indicating that he was a man of hope. He chose to live by hope. Number one, the first principle is this. Hope is a choice to believe a bigger purpose. Think about this just for a moment. Joseph had a decision to make. Would he choose to believe in this bigger purpose of God? All right, because up to this point, before he had a dream, he was assuming that Mary was unfaithful. He didn't know how that child got inside of Mary. He just knew it wasn't from him. He knew that he didn't have sex with Mary outside of marriage. He knew that they weren't married yet. He knew that he was pure, but unfortunately she was pregnant. The angel says, hey, listen, I don't want to alarm you, but the child inside of Mary is supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit. There's a bigger story going on. There's a bigger purpose, Joseph, going on with Mary and you. And Joseph was faced with this decision. Would he choose to believe in this bigger purpose? I want you to think about this illustration. Every single day on our news channels, there is a lead story. Every single day in the newspaper, there is a front page lead story. And a lot of times, we think that the lead story is our own life, right? We think that our story is the main story, but we have to realize that there's a much bigger story going on with our life, right? Let me try to illustrate it this way. I'll never forget when 9/11 took place. Never forget many years ago watching the news report. And I remember the very first report was something along this lines. Hey, a plane accidentally crashed into one of the towers and it seems like there was an accident. That was the lead story. It was on all the news networks. But you'll recall as we were watching that story, that lead story, there was a second plane that crashed into the towers. And at that moment, the lead story changed and it became very obvious to everybody that this wasn't an accident, it was intentional. It was part of a much bigger story that was unfolding that day. Why do I share all that? Because I want to illustrate something. Joseph, he thought that his marriage to Mary was the lead story. He thought that her becoming pregnant, and even though it wasn't his child, that was the lead story. But he soon learned that there was a much bigger story. There was a much bigger purpose that was being unfolded right before his eyes. And I want to just review this for you. Verse 21 is so important. It says this, so she will give birth to a son. Okay, he knew that. He knew that she was pregnant, but look at the bigger story that's unfolding. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save people from their sins. Joseph is learning that his life is part of a much bigger purpose, a much bigger story. Matter of fact, it even goes back to the Old Testament. All of this, the angel says, took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Of course, this is referring to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This was the prophet who predicted this 700 years prior to this even happening. And what Joseph is learning is that his life is part of a much bigger purpose. And so he puts his hope in that. Even though his circumstances are changing, even though his story is changing, even though his story is unfolding differently than what he even planned, he put his hope in a much bigger story, a much bigger purpose. I think a good example of what I'm trying to share is the Old Testament story of Joseph. Now, I don't want to confuse you. We're talking about the New Testament story of Joseph, right? Mary and Joseph. But in the Old Testament, if you recall, in Genesis chapter 37 through 50, there's another Joseph that we learn about his life. And you'll recall that Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. They were jealous of him. They didn't like the fact that his dad played favorites. They didn't like the fact that he had a coat of many colors. And you'll recall, if you know the story, they took Joseph, this brother, and they stripped him of the coat. They threw him into a pit. They lied to their father. They sold their brother into slavery. And you think that that would be the lead story, right? But then you hear that Joseph, he ends up in this house and God was with him, the Bible says, and he starts to be in charge of this house. And then what happens? He's falsely accused. He's falsely accused that he was doing something that he didn't do, and he ends up in prison. And you would think that that would be the lead story of Joseph's life, how his life is just so unfair, how he never can catch some breaks, right? You would think that that's the lead story, but we know that that's not the lead story. Joseph is in prison, and you know the story. He ends up interpreting dreams of a baker and a cupbearer, and he's in prison for 2 years, and then finally he's brought before Pharaoh. And we know the story. If you don't know it, I encourage you to read it, but God orchestrated all of that so that eventually Joseph could be second in charge, and so that Joseph would eventually lead his family to Egypt, where God desired for his people to be during this incredible, incredible drought, right? And this challenging time of no food, right? God planned all of it. And I guess I just want us to understand and contemplate just for a moment this morning that hope is a choice to believe your life is part of a bigger story. You see, God has invited you to join his story. God has invited you to be part of his purpose, to be part of his family. And we have to recognize that hope is not in our own circumstances. Hope is in Jesus Christ, in God, in his plan, in his bigger purpose. So no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what challenges you are facing, you can hope that there's a bigger purpose that God has for your life, and that he will work all things together for your spiritual good. Well, there's a second principle I want to share this morning, is hope is a choice not just to believe in a bigger purpose, but hope is a choice to trust in a better protector. Let's continue our story. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, let's talk about this principle real quickly. Think about the decision that Joseph is faced with. He knows that he is the foster father for Jesus, if you will. He knows that it's his earthly responsibility to care for Jesus. Think about that awesome responsibility. Imagine if you were Joseph. On one moment, you're exploring and experiencing the incredible scene of magi coming to your house, presenting you gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I would imagine this would have been a great provision for their family. They would have been able to use these gifts as a source of income. Imagine how happy you would have been knowing that Jesus is safe, knowing that his birth took place, knowing that he's healthy, he's doing well. And then all of a sudden, he gets the second dream. And the angel said, "Hey, you gotta go, and you gotta go now. You need to escape," is the word. "You need to run for your life." Why? Because we know King Herod was going to kill Jesus. Matter of fact, I shared last week, Herod ended up killing all the boys in that area 2 years old and under because he didn't want to give up his throne. So think about this. Joseph realizes that he still has hope. What's his hope in? Not in himself as a protector. His hope is in God, who is the ultimate protector, not just of his life, but ultimately Jesus' life as well. I'll never forget as a young parent how I was so concerned about trying to protect my kids. I have four kids, as most of you know, but when Noah, my oldest, whose birthday, by the way, was yesterday, he's now 22 years old, but I'll never forget when I first brought him into the house. I was just overwhelmed with this responsibility of trying to protect my child. I remember putting together the crib, making sure the crib was secure. I remember checking every single bolt on that crib. I remember checking the windows, making sure the windows would lock. I remember making sure there was everything that is safe as possible. And I even got to this point where I almost became a little bit OCD. Like I would check the windows twice or three times. I would check the doors to make sure they're locked. And it got to this point where I was putting upon myself the ultimate protector of my family. I'll never forget when the Lord spoke to me, encouraged me, and specifically challenged me with Psalms 121. I want to read that for you this morning, and hopefully this is an encouragement to you. It says this, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And I remember the peace that just came over me when I read Psalms 121, knowing that God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He always watches over us. And it was reminded on that particular day that I will never be able to protect my kids like God can. God is the one who is ultimately in control. He is a way better protector than I could ever be. And I remember that being my hope. I was thinking about this. Think about just for a moment all the different things that you trust. Maybe this past week, think about the different things that you put your trust in. For instance, me and my family, my son, Luke, who I like to pick on a little bit, he just got his driver's permit not too long ago. And literally, we put our trust in his hands when he drives us around. But if you've ever been on a plane, think about it. I don't know if you thought about this, but you put trust into that pilot. If you have ever gone to a restaurant, you're putting trust into that person who's cooking your food. And the point is we all the time put our trust into things and into people. But here's my question. How do we put our trust in God when it comes to our lives? No one can protect our lives the way God does. The Bible says that we cannot add a single hour to our life. We cannot add a certain day to our lives. God knows all about our lives. He created us and we can trust him. He is the protector of our lives. And Joseph is teaching us this morning that it is very important for us to constantly trust in Jesus, who is the better protector. Number three, there's a third principle I want to share with you this morning. It is that hope is a choice not just to believe in a bigger purpose for our lives. Hope is a choice not just to trust in a better protector for our lives, but number three, we can learn from the story of Joseph that hope is a choice to wait for a beautiful promise. Did you notice what was said in verse 13 to Joseph? Look at it again. He says, okay, Joseph, you need to go. You need to escape. That was his protection. But notice the promise. He says to Joseph, stay there until I tell you. In other words, what Joseph was learning is that God was going to come back and speak to him again. He had a promise that God was not going to leave them there in Egypt. God was not going to leave them by themselves. He promised them a better way. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, are you willing to wait for God's promises? I don't know about you, but it seems like for me personally, my patience sometimes is lacking. And I think it's because of this fast-paced world that we live in. We have everything at our fingertips. You know, if our internet doesn't work or if we don't, you know, have the fast food, for instance, as fast as we want it. I was at a red light the other day and someone ahead of me was on their phone and the person behind me didn't like that they were on their phone because the light turned green and they laid on their horn. And unfortunately, the person thought it was me. But my point is that I think most of us, because of the fast-paced life that we live in, we're not very patient. We're not willing to wait, right? But can I remind you what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31? It says, but those who hope in the Lord, right? That word hope there means to wait. Those who wait or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So if you find that you're just fatigued and you find that you're just worn out, you find that you're just discouraged, you find that your spiritual batteries are just blinking red, right? The Bible says that's when you choose to wait. Just like Joseph. Joseph decided to wait. He had a promise. The promise was you stay in Egypt until I tell you to move. And guess what Joseph and Mary and young Jesus did? They waited in Egypt until God responded. Hey, what a beautiful, beautiful promise. And then finally, we come to our fourth principle that we learned from the story of Joseph is that hope is a choice to obey the best plan. In the story of Joseph, we see these four principles. We see Joseph chose to believe in a bigger purpose. We saw that Joseph chose to trust in a better protector. We saw that Joseph decided to wait for a beautiful promise. But then we see something that he does in all the passages. He obeys the best plan. And the best plan is to follow God. Look at the passage, and we're done with this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. It says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Okay, so this is the third time that the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said the same few words every single time. Dream number one, get up and take. What did he say? Take Mary as your wife. Next time he said, get up and take the child and Mary to Egypt. Now look what he says, same thing. Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So we know now Herod passes away. Look what he does. So he gets up and he takes the child and his mother and they went to the land of Israel. Now look, there was a little bit of a problem. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there because Herod's son was basically as wicked as his father. But look what happens. A fourth time, there's another dream. And having been warned in a dream, fourth time, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene. I just wanted to make a note that you will see in the story of Joseph, immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Notice in the very first dream, we're not going to recap it on the screen, but in the very first dream, when the angel said, take Mary as your wife, he didn't wait to the end of that betrothal period. What did he do? He immediately obeyed. Notice that as soon as he had the dream that said, hey, take your son and your wife to Egypt, Herod's trying to kill you. What did he do? He didn't even wait for the morning. It says he left that night. He immediately obeyed. What did the Bible say? The Bible says, okay, Herod's dead. Now it's time for you to go to Israel. What did he do? He immediately obeyed. As they were going, he learns that Herod's son is in charge. He's worried about that. What happened? They said, okay, go to Nazareth. My point is this. Joseph proved that he was a person of hope, not just by his belief, not just by his trust, not just by waiting. He proved it by his obedience. I want to leave you with this thought this morning. When it comes to this decision to choose to live by hope, we don't have to choose to live with wishful thinking. So often in our world today, hope is nothing more than wishful thinking. It's just, hey, I hope you have a good day. I hope you have a good game. I hope you have a great day at work. We don't know that for sure. It's wishful thinking. Hey, I hope that you get a good doctor's report. Hey, I hope that everything works out in this situation. What are we doing? We're just giving people wishful thinking. That's not what God is talking about this morning, and that's not what Joseph lived out before us as an example. Hope is not built on wishful thinking. Hope is a confident expectation that God and his word is true. Hope is rooted and grounded in the pages of Scripture. We don't have to have a warm, fuzzy feeling. We get to look at the Word of God and count on what it says because it's true. Did you notice every single time that Joseph decided to choose hope, it was founded in what God said? Likewise, you and I, we don't have to be just looking into the stars, looking into the clouds, looking to other, you know, wise people. No, we can look in the Word of God and we can find the principles from God's Word, what it says for you and I, and we can place our hope in that. And so I want to encourage you with the words of Psalms 135 and 6. This is what it says. It says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And look at this. And in his word, I put my hope. The psalmist repeats himself. He says, I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. And then he repeats like songs do, more than a watchman's wait for the morning. My point is this. As you believe that your life is part of a bigger purpose, as you trust in Jesus to be the ultimate protector of your life, wait on him. And as you wait, hope in the truth of his word. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the challenge we've had this morning to study the life of Joseph. Now, Father God, I pray that you would apply it to our hearts and our lives. Help us to prove and to choose that we are people of hope. Help us to choose to believe. When our lives are not going well, help us to believe you have a bigger purpose going on. Father, when we get worried about COVID, when we get worried about all the things that are going on in this world, help us to believe that you have us in your hands, that you will protect us according to your will. Oh, Father, help us to be patient. Help us not to get ahead of you. Help us to wait on you. And as we wait, may we be sure of your holy word. May we spend time confidently rooting ourselves and grounding ourselves in the word of God. Give us hope this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.